Well, hello, everyone, and thank you for joining with us today. This would be a lonely place without you. We're glad you're here. I'm James Dobson, and welcome to Family Talk, the broadcast division of the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute. I hope this December day finds you well. Shirley and I had a wonderful Thanksgiving. We spent it with our daughter, Danae, and our son and daughter-in-law, Ryan and Laura, and of course, our beloved grandchildren were also with us. Like most of you, we're preparing now for the most special day of all, Christmas, during which we'll celebrate the birth of our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. But today, I want to go back approximately 2 months to an event that JDFI sponsored here in Colorado Springs. It was called The Gathering, and it was an intimate event during which we presented a variety of speakers over several days. Unfortunately, Shirley and I were both ill at that time, and we were unable to attend, but we're well now, thankfully, and the event continued without us, and through the grace of God, it didn't skip a beat. The distinguished speakers, each informative and inspirational in his or her own area of expertise, delivered a message that resonated in the room. And through the use of audio recordings, I want to share one of those messages with you today. The first speaker was someone most of you are probably familiar with. She is the Honorable Michelle Bachmann, who served as a member of the U.S. Congress for 8 years, representing the 6th District in Minnesota. She also sought the Republican nomination for United States President in 2012. She now serves as Dean of the Robertson School of Government at Regent University. Bachmann is also a member of our board of directors here at James Dobson Family Institute, and we are very proud of her. She's married and has been for 40 years to psychologist Dr. Marcus Bachmann. And listen to this. What a record. The Bachmanns have raised 5 biological children and 23 foster children, and they're grandparents of 2. We congratulate them. Shirley and I love these folks, and we're proud to call them our friends and colleagues. Here now is a speech given recently by the Honorable Michelle Bachmann on today's edition of Family Talk.
My husband was a dairy farmer and a beef farmer. We'd watch the cattle when they had to do things to cattle and push them through the chutes, you know, to do whatever the operation was for the cattle. And I kind of feel like as humans, we've been pushed through a lot of chutes in the last year and a half. Most of the time against our will, but, you know, we didn't have a choice. We've just had to be herded through these chutes. And it seems like the ultimate goal of herding all of us through these chutes has been to put us in a place that I would call delusion. Do you feel that way? I feel like here in the United States, this has been one of the strangest rides we've been on. It almost feels like an LSD trip. I don't know what an LSD trip feels like, but this feels like maybe what an LSD trip would be like, because it's pushing us into delusion. And I think the most powerful thing that there is on earth is truth. Nothing comes close to the power of truth. And I think that's part of what I want to encourage all of us to do tonight. To remember, before this all started a year and a half ago, we lived in truth. We knew what truth was. It wasn't that tough for us to live in it, especially those of us who had the privilege of coming to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, because he is truth. And if you spend your life in discipleship trying to get to know the God of the universe even more, then every day there's a little more truth that seems to come into your life. And so that's why for this last year and a half, it's been so strange, because we had to deviate, it seemed like, into embracing something that wasn't what we knew to be true. So this is odd, very odd time. My whole background in life, I think the calling that God put on me was to focus on the biblical worldview of law and of government. I'm a federal tax litigation attorney, but I've spent my lifetime in government, state and local government, in national government, as a member of Congress, also working at the United Nations. And most recently, my calling has been, I got a literal phone call last fall, right around the time of the election, from Pat Robertson. If you remember Pat Robertson, the 700 Club, he called me, he has Regent University, and asked me to be the dean of the Graduate School of Government at Regent. And I told him, you really don't want to hire me because I have no idea what a dean does. So I would highly recommend you do not hire me for this position. And he said, no, we want you to come, so come. So I went and began this process January 1st of being a dean at a university and running this school. And thank you very much. I don't know if the students would say the same, but I believe very strongly that more than ever, we need to put into this next generation truth, not lies. And they need to understand the biblical view of law. They need to understand the biblical worldview of government. Because as we will learn over the course of our time together, many people will talk to you about critical race theory and what's happening in the schools. You will find even that a lot of Christian colleges, they're embracing a lot of the delusion. And what allowed me to say yes to Pat Robertson is his absolute assurance that after 43 years of this university, they are as securely tied to advancing biblical worldview now as they were 43 years ago. They are not embracing critical race theory. They're not embracing all of the new isms that are out there. They are held securely to the Bible, and that's why I'm there. Then the Lord spoke to me in late spring because I was seeing this rise of anti-Americanism as critical race theory was being pushed on every college campus, even down into the preschool levels, where literally overnight, every single classroom was having its normal curriculum thrown out the window, and in its place, like a flood tide, critical race theory, aka Marxism, was coming in, absolute rank, outright Marxism, coming in even in preschool, where activism is being taught to little children, and they're taken off to rallies and given credit. So if kids go to rallies for whatever riot it is, they're getting credit. Bizarre, crazy. And then parents showing up, as you've seen, parents showing up at these school board meetings. I want to say, I think these are the bravest, most wonderful parents I have ever seen, and more power to them. They love their children. They get it for their children. They're advocating for my children. And so on one sense, we're seeing the United States of America being dissembled to resemble a nation we no longer recognize, in the words of the late Antonin Scalia. And it's hard to watch. And I'll give you my opinion again, that from my experience with government, what I see happening here in the United States, and this sounds shocking, is nothing less than a revolution. We're watching it. We're in it. It isn't that it's coming. It's already happening. We're in the middle of a revolution. And the political term is called a coup. A coup is a hostile takeover of a legitimate government. It's an illegitimate takeover of a legitimate government. Now, I sound like a real radical nutcase up here, don't I? An absolute nutcase. But just look at these appointees at the Department of Interior, the Department of Education. You take a look at their credentials. Did you see the new comptroller of the currency? This woman who's in charge of the currency, she was born, raised in the Soviet Union. Her PhD thesis was all extolling Marx theory. She's now put in charge of our currency. And you wonder why capitalism seems to be on fire and an attempt is being made to collapse it and to collapse our dollar and to see inflation like a dragon? This is the most unbelievable view we've ever seen. So if you think something is really strange, you're right. You are right. So we are witnessing a revolution. We are witnessing a coup. Now, that's a little depressing, I admit, for your first speaker of the night before dinner. It is a little depressing. But I also want to give you the other side of this equation. I actually believe we are privileged to live in the greatest time in history. I think right now is the greatest time in history because I think, according to the prophets, we are living in the greatest time. The prophets long to see the days that we are living in right now. There's a convergence of events happening all over the world that I think is heralding the coming of Messiah. And he will come according to his plan, according to his time. All over the world. I just returned this week from Italy. I was invited to go over and speak to the Italian Senate. And you think we have problems. Oh, my word. When I was in Italy on October 15th, that was the day that they became the first nation in the world to make the decree that unless you are vaccinated, you will not work. So private employment, public employment, you won't work. And so people were thrown out, thousands and thousands. I was in Rome. We saw thousands of people coming out to protest. What can they do? What can they do if they're thrown out of work by their own government? This happened. At the same time, I was speaking to the Italian Senate. I was actually there to talk to them about Israel and the blessing that it is for a nation to get behind support and advocacy for Israel. And during that time, the senators were telling me the bill that was going to come up this last Tuesday. They've just kicked it out now until October 27th, so this is a point of prayer for us. Do you know what the bill is to do? This is in the land of the Vatican. This is in the land of the Apostle Paul. This bill would outlaw speaking about or referring to the book of Genesis in Italy. This would outlaw referring to the book of Genesis under pain of a 6-year jail term. And why is that? Because there can be no competition or there can be no basis to question whether or not someone is one of 57 different varieties of maleness or femaleness or you name it. This is in Italy. This is today. You see, everywhere you go across the world, it isn't just America. These bizarre things that we've never seen before are being pushed everywhere. And I think what this is doing, what I am seeing among brothers and sisters in Christ all over the world, this is pushing us to our knees. This is pushing us to a closer time of fidelity to the Word of God and the things of God than ever before. This is a good thing. This is where we should be. And I want to give as an example Isaiah 22 and 2 Kings 22. In Isaiah 22, it is all about the destruction of Jerusalem. Jerusalem had completely turned away from God. It had completely embraced false gods. And so God had sent his prophets to Jerusalem to say, get rid of your false gods. Serve me. I am your God. And Jerusalem was having none of it. They were living in revelry, and it was good times every day. And so finally God said in Isaiah 22, the whole place was going crazy. It's kind of how we feel in the United States today. And it starts out in Isaiah 22. What is happening? Why is everyone running to the rooftops? The whole city is in a terrible uproar. What do I see in this reveling city? Oh, what a day of crushing defeat. What a day of confusion and terror brought by the Lord of heaven's armies, upon Jerusalem. God brought this destruction into the city because they turned away from him. What did the people do in Jerusalem? They were running to their armory. They were running to look at the walls that were breaking down. They were quick building reservoirs of water so that they wouldn't thirst to death. Between the cities and the walls, you built this reservoir. But then in the second half of verse 11, it says, but you never ask for help from the one who did all this. You never considered the one who planned this long ago. Compare and contrast this. As you go on, the Lord said to the people in Jerusalem, I called you to weep and mourn for your sins. I told you that you should be in sorrow for them and you should wear clothes of burlap and remorse. It's not that God wanted to see them rip their clothes and wear burlap. What he was looking for is an identification that we've sinned before him. We're not worshiping him anymore. And so he allowed to come into Jerusalem, his city, his throne, his eternal city, destruction. God destroyed this city. He took his chosen people and banished them. He spewed them out of the city. That doesn't make any sense, but it does make sense because he's holy, because he's just. He had given them the warnings, and ultimately he had to bring about destruction. Because ultimately, what was it that God wanted? Relationship. Think of the closest relationship you could possibly have. That's just a flavor of the love that God has for every man and every woman he has ever created. And when we reject him and when we reject that love, then God causes events to happen so that we'll turn back toward him. You see, Jerusalem rejected him and they were spewed out. Unlike 2 Kings 22, complete compare and contrast to Isaiah 22, where young King Josiah, who became king when he was 18 years later, he was a man after God's own heart. He wanted to follow God. He wanted to be in love with the God who created him. One day he wanted to redo the temple. It had fallen apart. He sent his court secretary over to the high priest to give money to the high priest so that they would rebuild the temple. And so while he was there, the high priest said, you won't believe what I found. I found the scroll here in the temple. Well, wouldn't you think the high priest would know where the scroll is? You think they forgot God? I guess so. And so he read it to the court secretary. The court secretary said, whoa, we've sinned. We're in big trouble. I better take this to King Josiah. He took it to King Josiah. He read it to King Josiah. You know what King Josiah's response was? He tore his garment. He got on the ground. He wept. He mourned. He knew immediately that they had sinned. This is a man after God's own heart, but he wasn't familiar with the Word of God. The second he saw the Word of God, he knew that repentance was required. And so he said to the high priest, he said to the court secretary, he said, quick, go to the temple, seek out the prophet, find out what I must do, because I know that judgment is coming to Judah. He'd read Deuteronomy 28. And so they went to the prophet, and the Lord said through the prophet, yes, I will judge Judah, but because the king recognized his sin and he repented, I will not destroy the city and the country on his watch. And that's what happened. Because the king wept for himself, he wept for his people, he wept for his nation. And that's the moment I think that we're at right now. This should give us great comfort. Despair not. Fear not. This is the greatest moment for America. because this is our opportunity to say, Father, in the midst of destruction, just like in Jerusalem, in Isaiah 22, when the people were saying, what is happening? Running for the hills, the towers falling down around them. The destruction was happening. Just like I told you, we're in the revolution. We're in the coup. This is exactly when you figure out who is God. And when you fall on your knees, and when you repent, and you cry out for your leaders, you pray for Joe Biden. You pray for the Senate. You pray for the House. You pray for the Supreme Court. You pray for your family. You pray for your church. You pray for the dollar. You pray for business. You pray for people's health, that I was reading today in studies that have just been completed. Do you realize there's an escalation in mortality worldwide, and not just from COVID? We have almost an 18% higher level of death across the world. There's judgment. There's judgment. And it's not just on the United States. There's judgment. So I believe, as the Church of Jesus Christ, that we need to come to Him and know Him and follow in the ways of Josiah. When he heard the word of God, he saw his sin. And so, Father, we gather together. I ask, oh God, that you would bless both Jim and Shirley. Father, these are legends. These are giants for what they have done for our nation. Oh God, would you show us what we might do? Every person in this room is here for a reason, oh God. We each have spheres of influence that no other person could duplicate. So I pray, oh God, as we pour our lives out, as we pour our hearts out before you, that you would give us wisdom. You say in your word, if we lack wisdom, we can ask from you. So, Father, we ask you boldly. We come to your throne tonight. We ask you for wisdom. What can we do? Like Josiah did, what can we do with our sphere of influence so that we can bring about your righteousness in this nation? In the midst of this time of judgment, in the midst of this coup, in the midst of this revolution, you are God, and there is none other. And we declare that you are Lord over the United States and Lord over this world. And whether we like what's happening or not, you are Lord. And so, Father, we will choose to fear not. We will choose to despair not. We will choose to honor you, love you, revere you, obey you, and walk closer to you, Lord, than ever before, because we need you more than ever before. So we praise you for the ideas you will give us. We praise you for the doors you will open for us. We praise you because you do not abandon your own. We will see miracles from your hands. And that's what we ask for in the United States of America. We ask you literally for miracles. When it looks irreversible, when it looks impossible, Lord, that's exactly in your word when you act. When all has fallen apart, then you act. That's our God. So we will fret not. We receive your comfort. We receive your grace. We receive your mercy. Yea, we even receive your joy. As we hear these things, your joy. Because you are God. And we are not. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Well, you just heard a passionate presentation delivered by former U.S. Congresswoman and JDFI board member Michelle Bachmann. Michelle gave that speech at a recent small gathering of some of our ministry supporters. As you could probably imagine, her words were received with hope and excitement. We pray that you were encouraged by today's program. If you would like to listen again, or if you missed any part of the presentation, visit drjamesdobson.org/broadcast. There you can listen to the show in its entirety, or even request a CD copy of the program to keep or to share. That web address once again is drjamesdobson.org/broadcast. Now, before we leave for today, I want to remind you that thanks to some special friends of our ministry, we have a matching grant in place throughout this entire month of December. This means that any donation that you make to the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute during the remainder of 2021 will be doubled. To make a tax-deductible donation online, visit us at drjamesdobson.org. That's drjamesdobson.org. Or call 877-732-6825. That's 877-732-6825. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Please join us again tomorrow for another special edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
This has been a presentation of the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute.